Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 13, Number 7. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was the Costanza Principle, which in simple terms can be translated as do the opposite. Whatever conventional wisdom recommends when it comes to nutrition, health, and fitness, do the opposite. If you do, and I certainly do, you will live longer and feel better. Convention is what the mindless collective follows. It's the typical or mainstream way that things are usually done, and in almost every case, it creates more damage than not, leads to premature death, and remember this, it feeds big medicine and big pharma. When you cooperate with the enemy will eventually destroy you. Convention is something established by history, custom, or authority. It's what people do because everyone else is doing it or because it's what the majority does and therefore wants you to do it as well. Misery loves company. In many life situations, people are indirectly manipulated by what John Stuart Mill calls social tyranny. In his classic On Liberty, Mills discusses the impact, pressure, and intolerance felt by individuals who simply want to do what they feel is best for themselves. But the majority doesn't care what you want. They want you to fit in or get out or go to jail. Let's take a look, by the way, at the health status of the majority. Do you want to look and feel like most people today? We now have over 80 different forms of diagnosed autoimmune disease. Cancer is so prevalent that it's become part of our routine social dialogue and mental landscape. Unfortunately, it's almost mundane as a part of our conversation. Obesity now affects over 2 billion people on the planet, and who knows exactly how many people out there are just plain fat. Millions are addicted to pain-killing medications, and millions more are taking useless antipsychotic medications because they can't handle or deal with reality. Truth. You can't handle it. That's what I think a lot of depression is all about. Depression runs rampant in our society. It's not going down, it's going up, and there's more and more young people that are suicidal and depressed because they can't have what they want, they can't control the world, and that's just something they have to get over and come to terms with. A great example of the Costanza Principle in action is the promotion of sunscreen by the mainstream. Do the opposite. That's the rule. I do. In fact, I've always been wary of sunscreen, and believe me, I have fair skin. I get burned really easily. But I absolutely worship the sun. I feel better in the sun. Everything about me improves. My mind, my body, my physique, my blood, my hormones, everything improves when I'm in light, when I'm bathing in light continuously. But I respect the light. I know I have a limit, so I stay within it. Now think of paradise on earth, like Hawaii or Costa Rica or Crete. There's many other examples. Is there any sunshine in these places? Absolutely. That's part of the attraction, is the fact that we can go and submerge ourselves in light like people do in the ocean. You bathe in it. It becomes part of you. But like the ocean, we have to respect the sun. So do the opposite. Don't smother yourself with sunscreen because using it not only increases your risk of skin cancer, which is proven, this is scientifically proven, but a whole range of diseases also associated with vitamin D deficiency because when you wear sunscreen, your body can't make vitamin D and you become vitamin D deficient, and diet is not enough. You need the sun to produce much more and a much better source of vitamin D. And of course, you need the radiation. Oh, radiation's bad. only excess radiation is bad. Radiation is just something that we call light. People don't understand this stuff, and so they're all confused. You got to research it. Use your head. Take enough antioxidants through food and dietary supplements to build a protective barrier under your skin. They rise up and coat the skin and protect the skin from excessive damage, which normally is not a factor when you ease into it. Take your time. Adapt slowly. Respect what you're doing. Understand what you're doing. Study the science presented by people like Dr. Michael Hollick and Dr. Elizabeth Plourd, and let the science persuade you to do the opposite of convention. On this edition of Clinical Review, my focus and topic is on the significance and multiple benefits of magnesium supplementation. Heart disease, physical weakness, leg cramps, anxiety, insomnia, chronic fatigue, depression, excess acid production, and heartburn. In my experience, these are some of the most damaging effects I've seen caused by magnesium deficiency. And it's so unfortunate because it's so easy to remedy. Magnesium is an essential mineral in human nutrition and has an alkaline pH. Some minerals are alkaline forming, others are acidic. You have to learn the difference, because whatever minerals dominate food is what determines the pH, and ultimately we need to maintain an alkaline pH if we want to be well. Some acid is essential, but overall we've got to maintain an alkaline environment. Now, magnesium plays a very important role in nervous system health, in the regulation of body acid, and in waste management. Here's a personal success story with a skeptic I know who added magnesium to their diet. One of our Spartacus gym members years ago complained of having heart problems. He was 28. He said his doctor had diagnosed him with a condition called atrial fibrillation, which is also known as irregular heartbeat. He was prescribed medication and told to avoid caffeine. After a brief review of his diet and lifestyle, I recommended he research the element magnesium and consider taking some magnesium aspartate, which is 10% magnesium and 90% aspartic acid. Whatever supplement you're looking at, you've got to understand what is the amount of elemental magnesium versus the thing it's attached to, like citric acid, or in this case, aspartic acid. Because the amounts of magnesium and the thing it's attached to, the amino acid or the Krebs cycle intermediate or the salt, whatever it's attached to, depends on absorption and individual absorption and metabolism, because it doesn't all work the same for everybody. Now, I told him that there was clinical evidence, which there was, that atrial fibrillation can be controlled, modified, and even abated by taking magnesium. But I also said there's no guarantee. I'm not saying I'm going to cure you or that magnesium is going to cure you or that it's a magic pill. We never tell anybody that because that's not true. But it can work like magic in the minds of those who have no understanding. A week went by and then I saw him again on the gym floor training. He had a big smile on his face. He rushed up to me and shouted, "Corey, you saved my life. My anxiety and symptoms of atrial fibrillation disappeared the morning after I took 1,000 milligrams of magnesium aspartate. I'm a believer." Well, from that time on, he never had any more heart trouble or cardiac concerns, except once when he neglected to take his magnesium for 3 days. And man, is this common. People get better. They stop doing what needs to be done. They fall right back into the same hole. But then he learned his lesson, and as far as I know, he's never not taken his magnesium, as in his mind he thinks it now as an essential supplement for health and wellness. Which is worse, taking the supplement or having a heart condition that can be a fatality? Now, the best way to get magnesium into your body begins with consuming organic whole food from plants and animals. Anything green is a great place to start, as a dual relationship exists between magnesium and chlorophyll. Chlorophyll, of course, is the green pigment in algae and plants that captures energy from sunlight through photosynthesis. Magnesium is the central atom of chlorophyll. So when you see green, think magnesium and energy. Now, all green plants provide organic sources of bioavailable magnesium. Other great food sources include raw nuts and seeds, fish, beans and lentils, brown rice, avocados, and dried fruits. Cardiologist Dr. Stephen Sinatra states, among the top nutrients for heart health, the benefits of magnesium supplements really stand out. A shortage can cause or worsen congestive heart failure, atherosclerosis, chest pain, high blood pressure, cardiac arrhythmias, heart muscle disease, heart attack, and even sudden cardiac death. I mean, that's a wowzer. Most heart disease creeps up slowly and insidiously, but science can reveal things to us impossible to feel or verify with our conscious perceptual senses. It's like looking up in the sky and saying, look at that star. And then through science we learn it's not a star, it's a planet. It's called Venus. Same thing with nutrition. Like light, atoms, and energy, we need to measure these things objectively. That's why they invented microscopes and telescopes, because there's things you can't see with your naked eye. There's things you can't hear with your ears or feel with your sensory organs. It's impossible. But they're there and they're present. And then the times passed, they didn't even know they existed. So they made up stories and superstitions. And or they thought that the mountains or the sun or the stars or, you know, even supreme beings were causing all these effects that people were looking at, when it's actually explainable in simple scientific terms. But science had yet to be even coined. You have to go beyond the veil. You have to think inside your head today. What do we know? If I don't know it, can something or somebody or an organization help me understand what I need to know so I have more clarity? Now, here's another good example. A 40-year-old I know was told after a standard physical medical exam that he was in perfect health. He said he felt great. 1 week later at a hockey game, he got excited and had a near-fatal heart attack. 3 days later, he was on steroids, lying on a table, having coronary quadruple bypass surgery. In simple terms, his diet sucked, and he was in poor physical condition. Now, the dietary reference intake, or DRI, for magnesium is 350 milligrams. I estimate he got less than 50 milligrams daily for most of his life. You can't make magnesium out of thin air, and you should never rely exclusively on how you feel. He did, and he lost. Now, here's another common observation. Pregnancy pulls many life-giving elements out of the mother's body tissues, organs, and glands if they are not consumed adequately through optimum nutrition and added supplements. In nature, baby comes first at the expense of the mother. Often they both crash. They both suffer. Most women clearly do not take sufficient amounts of micronutrients during pregnancy to compensate for the added biological burden and passenger, as we'll call it, them, it, she, he, that little baby inside. We'll call that living cargo. And that's an excess of stress and burden. We have to compensate. A multiple vitamin and mineral from the pharmacy does not cut the mustard. As a result, women never really recover from the experience and often struggle with depression, obesity, food cravings, fatigue, and thyroid conditions for the rest of their lives. A pregnant woman should examine and analyze her diet or have someone else do it that's competent, like a CSNA. Then compare that data to any symptoms that she has. Facts don't lie. Begin with what's obvious and connect the dots. Simply examine what you eat day by day and add up the numbers. Compare the amount of magnesium you actually eat to what is recommended. Raising your intake of magnesium as a pregnant or lactating mother can help relieve constipation, modify emotional stress, help ease tension, improve sleep quality, and prevent osteoporosis. As a calcium antagonist, magnesium relaxes airways and smooth muscles and dilates the lungs. This is why it can help asthmatics. It also reduces airway inflammation, inhibits chemicals that initiate spasm, and increases anti-inflammatory nitric oxide. Magnesium is predominantly an intracellular ion. That means it's inside the cell, not outside, which would be called an extracellular ion. An ion is an element with a particle charge, positive or negative. And that's very important for absorption and chemistry inside the body. Its blocking effects, and now we're talking about magnesium, on N-methyl-D-aspartate receptors are responsible for its analgesic and sedative characteristics. So magnesium can help reduce pain and sedate people in pain, help them sleep better. There's also a definite connection between fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and impaired energy production within the cell. The reasons are poorly understood for these conditions. They're mostly theoretical, but most likely magnesium affects enzyme systems involved in the electron transport chain. So when you give someone magnesium, it helps improve the state. Magnesium increases the body's ability to regenerate and generate ATP. So you get a generation, meaning something that's, you know, de novo and new, or regenerated from raw materials into something that you need to sustain continuously. Like when you're running, you need a constant supply of ATP. When you're training in the gym, you need energy. I usually recommend magnesium creatine chelate in conjunction with malic acid and ribose for fatigue and muscle syndromes. There's different forms of magnesium. There's plenty. Many of them are good. None is better. Some are best for an individual. That same individual that benefits from one form, another individual benefits from another form. This is the hard part. But you've got to experiment. You've got to get away from this notion that it's going to be easy and I'll just take a pill. How does one know how much to take? Well, that's a good question. Read books. Follow the advice of experts, researchers, and doctors you trust. Then experiment with taking a magnesium supplement on a daily basis. Don't expect overnight results. Another good way is to watch documentary-like educational presentations like TED Talks or all kinds of documentaries online that focus with researchers, chemists, doctors that are really committed to finding out what's going on something like magnesium. Now, there's no technical device yet known that can calculate the exact micronutrient needs of any individual. It would be great if there was, but there isn't. What we have are general guidelines, research, anecdote, and clinical observation. Most of the hard evidence is obtained from animal studies. Sometimes they relate, sometimes they don't. Magnesium plays an important role in normal glucose metabolism. Like vitamin C powder, magnesium has a well-established reputation as a natural laxative. Magnesium relaxes the smooth muscles in the intestines. This helps establish a smoother rhythm. Magnesium also attracts water in the colon, which softens the stool, helping to make stools easier to pass. Magnesium deficiency allows calcium to fall out of solution inside the body. This is a big one because there is a high risk of heart disease and cardiac event when magnesium is low. And it's because calcium falls out of solution and builds up into a sort of a crusty, hard precipitate inside the walls of the arteries. This undesirable precipitation of calcium can lead to calcium deposits in the artery wall, joint matrix, or the kidneys. And of course, magnesium also prevents and helps relieve spasms and cramps. So people who experience migraines often have lower levels of serum and tissue magnesium. Magnesium plays a role in neurotransmitter release and vasoconstriction. An adult body contains approximately 25 grams of magnesium, with 50 to 60% in the bones and the rest in soft tissues. Less than 1% of total magnesium is in blood serum, and these levels are kept under tight control. So you can't look at the blood and determine whether or not you're lacking magnesium. By far more reliable are symptoms you have and then an analysis of the diet to see, are you actually consuming any magnesium or things or foods or substances and meds and alcohol that drive it out of the body. Sugar's a bad one too. Tracy and I take calcium magnesium supplement in a 1-to-1 ratio, 250 calcium, 250 magnesium. It's a blend of calcium citrate, magnesium citrate oxide, potassium citrate, zinc citrate, magnesium citrate silicon, vitamin D3. I take that in the morning, after or before a workout, actually, and then at nighttime I do a load. If you want to take magnesium, start with a low dose of, say, 100 to 200 milligrams of elemental magnesium, such as magnesium citrate, magnesium malate, or magnesium bisglycinate. Take note of your symptoms and look for improvement, but not overnight. Too much magnesium from food does not pose a health risk in healthy individuals because the kidneys eliminate excess amounts in the urine. But excessive doses of magnesium from dietary supplements or medications can result in diarrhea. This is the first symptom. And that can be accompanied by nausea and abdominal cramping. Just back off. Just reduce the dosage. Make sure that you're taking it with food or a shake. Minerals are potentially more toxic than vitamins, but magnesium is an essential mineral. There's a limit to what you can tolerate, the bell curve. On the left-hand side at the bottom, you're lacking, you're insufficiently sustained, you're deficient. You go up the bell curve, up to the top where the celebration of life is, where optimum health is, and somewhere in there is where you need to be. But somewhere does not mean exactly anywhere. It's something you have to figure out, and it's going to change as you age and go through stress. Now, you go around the curve and down the other side, and now you're getting into a toxic amount, and the symptoms of toxicity are the same as symptoms of deficiency, which, you know, it takes an enlightened individual to understand. Now, when you exceed your risk, damage increases. So symptoms like diarrhea or nausea are how the body speaks to us. Pay attention to your body and what it's saying. Start with a modest dose. Ease into it. Try and find the best form of magnesium, something that a good researcher, chemist, doctor, CSNA would know something about, could advise you to take. Most minerals, including magnesium, should be taken with meals or a shake to assist in the absorption and uptake in the blood. So mighty magnesium, respect it, understand it, know your limit, and stay within it. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from John Stuart Mill, British philosopher, political economist, and civil servant. The only freedom which deserves the name is that of pursuing your own good in your own way. So long as we do not attempt to deprive others of theirs or impede their efforts,